This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. You could send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with Alex Martin, the global writing chief for the Wall Street Journal, LSU graduate, member of the Manship Hall of Fame, and New Orleans native. He started his professional career at the Times-Picayune, worked there for 8 years, 16 years at Newsday, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. And Alex Martin, good morning to you.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Doing well. Alex joining us from New York City. I saw the speculation in the New York Times about the Knicks perhaps getting Zion Williamson. He's coming to New Orleans.
Yeah, I was just, when your producer called, I was just gloating to a Knicks fan about that fact.
How about that? So the Pelicans, so who knows, they may end up keeping Anthony Davis, and they'll have both of them perhaps. But we will see, and later in the hour we'll talk with Fred Rosenfeld, who 45 years ago brought Pete Maravich back to Louisiana when he was president. Rosenfeld was president of the New Orleans Jazz, and that one worked out pretty well. No championships, but certainly there was a lot of pizzazz in New Orleans when Pistol Pete was doing his Showtime in the Superdome.
Many a fun night there.
Yeah. Well, as mentioned, Alex Martin, when he graduated from Louisiana State University in the year of 1981, he went to work for the Times-Picayune, his hometown newspaper, one of the great entities in the world, and there have been a few changes since then, most notably 7 years ago when the Picayune went to 3 days a week, and now the venerable newspaper has been acquired by the Advocate, and that has been big news across the country. And Alex, you know a lot about this and a lot of the players you're familiar with. What do you think?
Well, I agree with Stephanie Grace, the Advocate columnist who told the New York Times that this is the reality check for a situation that was untenable. You couldn't have two newspapers with the staff, two news organizations with the staffs the size of the Advocate and the TP at NOLA.com in one city like that. It just wasn't economically feasible. So at some point, one of them was going to have to retreat. Given the history of the new houses, who are loath to sell anything, it was somewhat surprising that the John Georges was successful in driving the new houses out, but he did.
And Peter Kovacs, your former colleague and editor, who is now editor of The Advocate, he was boasting a bit in the pages of the New York Times, saying our ultimate goal was to get the new houses out of New Orleans.
Right. Look, you know, that was the events surrounding 2012 were ugly. And so there's a lot of people who were caught up in that who have a bad taste in their mouth about the Newhouse family. They undid a lot of years of service and good works to the community in the way in which they handled it, the entire switch to digital first and the layoffs. It was never going to go well. Those situations never do. But it went about as badly as you could manage a thing. As a matter of fact, using the term managing for what went on there would be an insult to the word manage.
And as a person who grew up in New Orleans and probably a large part of your early influence and inspiration to become a journalist was because of the hometown newspaper, and then working there for 8 years, this had to be heartbreaking to see this great entity and the community go by the wayside.
Yeah, it was difficult to watch in 2012. I mean, that was the, frankly, even a more difficult blow than the most recent one because, you know, as a New Orleanian, you understand the way the city is, that it doesn't give up its old ways very easily, for good and for bad. You understand that it's not a very connected city at the time, or probably even now, in terms of computer connections, you know. You understand that it's a poor city. So people can maybe spend the 25 cents or whatever a newspaper was costing at the time, but for a paper, but they may not have connectivity. So all of those things trouble you. And then when you see journalists being laid off, not that we're any more special than anybody else when it comes to economic reality, but when you see them laid off and you know that that means less coverage, there's going to be less people sitting in parish council meetings, less people at the city council meeting, you know, there's going to be fewer people working on long-term projects. There's going to be fewer people to piece together the various breaking news events into larger, smarter stories. One way you can always tell a news organization under stress is if most of their, many of their stories, plenty of their coverage is, you know, somebody shot here, somebody's killed there, there's a bad car wreck over here. And frankly, that's the kind of push alerts that I get on my phone from NOLA.com all too often now. And that's because those things happen. There's a, you know, there's a public information officer at the police department or an agency that cranks out this stuff. You look at it, you make maybe a phone call or two, and you can crank that stuff out. That's not journalism, you know, in any meaningful way. So those are the kinds of things that happen. You know, then the Advocate came in, and then there was, you know, came in, carefully at first, under the Manships, and then after Georgia's bought it, I mean, it went whole hog. And when it went whole hog, you know, New Orleans got way more coverage than similar markets its size. And again, as Stephanie Gray said, at some point the bill was going to come due, and the bill came due Thursday. And that means a lot of people, you know, those 65 or so people that were gathering news and the 100 other people who worked for NOLA.com are now trying to figure out what happens with their lives. And that's bad for them, but it's also bad for the city.
Yeah. And
because if you look at just on Sunday with a giant flooding in town, you know, those people who don't know whether they're going to have a job, they're out there waiting in floodwaters, getting news and trying to hold the city accountable and make sure that, the, you know, why was that pumping station off? Oh, it was off for an hour? Well, did it really matter? And trying to explain that to people.
877-217-5757 is your number if you'd like to join our conversation with Alex Martin, the global writing chief for the Wall Street Journal, one of the great newspapers in the world. And he's based in New York City, where the action is, as Gus Weil used to call it, the center of the universe. And Alex, I suspect after being there for a number of years, you probably won't be coming back to New Orleans, even in retirement, if there is any such thing. But you are a New Orleanian, there is no doubt. And usually people who are New Orleanians can almost tell if they're about to meet another person of their kind, the first greeting. It's an amazing phenomenon. As you know, the city is a most diverse and unique place.
Well, you know, I'm never going to be anything but a yacht. That's the way that goes. No matter how many years I spend up here this summer, I'll have spent an equal amount of time in both places. And we'll see what I am as I go along. But I can't imagine being anything other than New Orleans. We get back once or twice every year, so it's we're very connected.
Well, the newspaper, the Picayune, in 2012, I think it had 175 employees, and the way things are now, it's just the nature of the business. The Advocate and the Picayune combined won't have 175 employees mm-hmm. when this new venture takes place very soon. That is unfortunate, and it probably it affects the quality of journalism. When you have fewer mm-hmm. people, you have fewer people covering the news of importance to the community.
That's correct. And look, when you think about it, right, the Picayune covered a 7-parish area around New Orleans. But you're talking about the Advocate, it's got Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Lafayette, and places in between they try to cover. So that 175 or whatever the number ends up being for the Advocate is going to be even fewer people to cover, and we're covering the 7-parish of New Orleans area, but covering a wider area, you know, three of the four biggest cities in Louisiana.
And it'll be interesting to see how sports is covered, too. Does that mean that each paper has essentially the same stories? You have one crew covering the Saints and another crew covering LSU, and that's it. In the old days, there actually was competition for stories and see who would be first. And now you probably are going to have a consolidation, and that, once again, if you're in the bean counting business, that's understandable.
Sure, and the other thing to think of is, you know, the Advocate is experimenting with paywall right now, you know, charging subscribers. And so that's going to also change the competition landscape.
877-217-5757 is your number, and we'll have another segment with Alex Martin. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address, and we'll return with the global writing chief for the Wall Street Journal after this 90-second pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and another segment with Alex Martin, global writing chief for the Wall Street Journal, native of New Orleans, Holy Cross High School, LSU graduate, and he now works with some of the best journalists in the world, and he worked with some good ones when he was in New Orleans for 8 years with the Picayune, then went to Newsday for 16 years, and has been with the Wall Street Journal for 13 years. As you said the other day, Alex, based on the math, you'll either be there 24 years or 32, depending on when you decide to call it a day.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal is a great place to work, and it's hard to envision a day when it's going to not be. But, you know, as we've been talking about, even a place like this, the print circulation has dropped 29% in the last 6 years or so. Same thing happened at the around the same drop as at the New York Times or the Washington Post, but it looks like a picnic compared to places like roughly the size of the Picayune and the Advocate. We've seen an average drop of 45% in the same time period of circulation. So it's a pretty brutal business at the moment.
Megan on O'Neill asks if President Trump has been good for business.
I would have to say that the answer is cloudy, but tending toward yes for us. I mean, we've certainly done well since he's been in office, but it has also coincided with some things that we were starting to do just about that time made us better digitally. So we've increased our digital audience, and we've increased the number of subscribers, which is really the name of the game currently for news organizations, or subscribers, as opposed to, you know, much more pointed at that than advertising revenue, which has been hammered recently.
And another listener notes about your television counterparts, including Fox News, not far from your headquarters at Wall Street Journal. Elizabeth Warren.
Couple floors down.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren says she won't participate in a Fox News town hall denouncing the cable news channel as a hate-for-profit racket. Is this a gimmick, or do you think she's really onto something here?
I don't know whether she's onto something, but I don't see it as completely a gimmick. I mean, the Democratic base, who are the participants in the Democratic primary, would agree with that statement. So in one way, that's a play for that group. But in another way, it seems pretty clear that it's also a way she feels about at least part of the lineup. That was her more nuanced point, right? Is that the opinion shows she feels are stoke division, whereas the news shows play it straight, and basically what that means is the guys in the morning, Fox in the morning, you know, the Fox morning show and the evening lineup are the ones she's targeting, and the things in the middle, she's saying are basically pretty straight. But you know, everybody's got to make their own choices. Other Democrats have made the choice that they have a big audience they want to speak to, and they'd like to speak to it. But there you have it.
Okay. Al in Lafayette. Al, good morning. You're on with Alex Martin of the Wall Street Journal.
Yes. Hi, Alex. I was happy to hear you talking about the new houses. It reminded me of several years ago when the Picayune stopped delivering to Acadiana, and my father, who was living in New Iberia, where we're from, so he decided to send Cy Newhouse one of those monogrammed, you know, Tabasco bottles that was they were doing, because that's near New Iberia. So he just sent him a nice letter saying, how can you not deliver the daily paper, you know, or any paper from New Orleans to New Iberia? You know, please reconsider. Here's a monogrammed bottle of Tabasco, Cy Newhouse. And, of course, like a resounding silence, nothing happened. But he died last year, but he would be so thrilled to hear that the new houses are out of New Orleans. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Alex. Alex, I imagine a lot of people have that same sentiment.
Yeah, they did themselves no favors. I mean, it wasn't just the act, which was bad enough. It was the arrogance that accompanied the act. You know, the terming of the people who were registering real pain and complaints. I'm not talking about the journalists. I'm talking about the citizenry, and terming it noise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not going to endear you to people. And these are people whom you want to identify with your product, to believe in you, to believe that you believe in what's best for the community and trying to do the right thing. I mean, the only thing that any news organization has to sell is trust, and you're going to erode it by a arrogant comment like that. That didn't do people who stayed and tried to make NOLA.com into a excellent news organization, and nor the people that they were getting rid of, any favors.
Barry in Mid-City. Hi, Barry. You're on the air with Alex Martin. Hi, Barry.
Hey. Hi. I'd like to ask your guest, please, if he remembers any other time in the United States when we were so divided, polarized politically, please.
Are we more polarized now?
I don't remember it, but I would say at the dawn of the Republic, if you read some of that stuff, you know, the kind of war between the Federalists and the Democratic Republicans, you would have to say that partisanship was pretty high. And then, oh, I don't know, let's say before the Civil War, and let's say right after the Civil War. So I think sometimes we persuade ourselves that partisanship is at all-time highs. It's certainly not pleasant. It's certainly high. You know, I think we should always use great care when we use superlatives.
Phil in Jefferson. Hi, Phil. You're on with Alex Martin of the Wall Street Journal. Phil?
Good morning, sir. Listen, I understand that Rupert Murdoch now owns the Wall Street Journal and is trying to buy the New York Times. What do you think of that? And I think he's kind of like the enemy of the people myself.
All right. You're not going to speak ill of the boss, but...
Well, he's not trying to buy the New York Times at the moment, but he does own the Wall Street Journal, and I occasionally see him around the building. But if you take a look in surveys done by the Pew Foundation, about the most trusted news source across the political spectrum, it's the Wall Street Journal, still is. Most trusted newspaper.
Mm-hmm. And the, still is. The reporting, which of course is what Alex is in charge of, is balanced. It's not biased. The editorial page is conservative, but the New York Times editorial page is largely liberal. It's interesting that your former Brett Stevens,
I was just gonna say,
he's regarded as a wild-eyed conservative, but I don't really think he is, but he's on the pages of the New York Times, which is a liberal publication, which has columnists to the left of him. But you were going to say?
I was just going to say that if in the Wall at both places, you know, this one, I mean, I know people at the Times, but at this place, you know, there's Paul Gigot. He runs the editorial pages. He runs them. Matt Murray is the editor-in-chief of the Wall Street Journal. He has no input on the editorial pages. Gigot has no input on the news pages. and they're on a separate floor, and Zhugo probably couldn't pick me out of a police lineup, even though I'm on the masthead of the paper.
Paul Annopoulos. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Just a question to your guest.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, since so many people are getting their news from social media nowadays, do you see your paper either buying a social media outlet or them buying you?
All right.
About them buying us, to be determined. My guess is not, because they're getting the milk for free.
All right. Well, Alex, we got to roll, but thank you so much. Global writing chief of Louisiana and LSU, man, made good in New York City. Thank you, Alex Martin.